Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Jamie from Washington, and I would never listen to I Doubt It with Dollamore.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It with Dollamore.
All right, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us. This champagne fuel, 267th episode of I Doubt It with Dollamore. I am your host, Jesse Dollamore. Sitting across from me, the lovely, the talented, the Golden Globe maniac, Brittany Page.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We're taking a cue from the Golden Globes with our champagne-fueled podcast, because there was a lot of champagne to go around.
That also is one of those award shows that's known for the boozing.
Yes.
Like, I think there was a reference that somebody said, okay, we're back on the air. Everybody come back from the bar.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Aren't they all like that, though?
Maybe.
They're all just getting
drunk. I think the Golden Globes, because it's such a small place, that they all rush back to the back of the room.
Mm.
It's a tiny little place in there.
Yeah.
They were asshole to elbow in there tonight.
Yeah.
You saw, like, I saw Mel Gibson get pissed off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe it was because he was around a bunch of Jews, but he was angry that he was being bumped by people as they were trying to make their way to the award stage.
Yeah, well, how dare they?
Yeah, you know.
Bump like, into his chair.
Wacky ass Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Well, and then Meryl Streep gave her speech, which was really great.
An unbelievable speech. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking of people in the audience like Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Or
Sylvester Stallone.
Or Vince Vaughn, who is...
Is he conservative too?
I think he's a libertarian.
Huh.
But I know that he's not a fan of liberals. I've heard that. So I was thinking of the very few conservative or libertarian people in the audience and what they must have been thinking while Meryl Streep was going on.
Yeah.
And attacking
Donald Trump.
Well,
I had people tweeting me like, hey, are you going to do a video on Tommy Lahren?
Because mm-hmm.
apparently she was losing her goddamn mind during the speech on Twitter.
It was a very beautiful speech.
What was there to complain about? She's advocating for the president of the United States to not be a fucking cock.
Yeah, she's
and making fun of disabled people.
She's advocating.
Do I already need to do it? Does it need to be done already?
With the forceful nature that you said the word.
The views and opinions expressed by Jesse Dollamore are solely those of Jesse Dollamore and do not reflect the views and opinions of Brittany Page, who is a far superior person and much more measured and reasonable in her views and analysis.
So,
all right, well, now that we got that out of the way,
she was advocating.
I guess it's no surprise to the audience that I think Donald Trump is a cock.
She was advocating kindness. That's it.
Absolutely.
And
what's there to complain about?
And someone who's not attacking the press. That's basically it.
Unbelievable.
And people are unhappy with it, saying that she shouldn't be talking about it, that she doesn't live in the real world. Oh, like Donald Trump lives in the real world.
I saw a tweet from a guy. Here, let me unplug my phone and take a look at it. And he says,
I'm sure it's a great tweet.
He's Lalo Daglotch or something is his name.
That does not sound like a correct pronunciation.
It's certainly not. But he tweeted and he says, sorry, I'm stalling as I read it. Why do actors nowadays think they are civil rights leaders? You are celebrities / millionaires, not the voice of the oppressed. And I answered him back and I said, yeah, they should keep their mouths shut. Like Donald Trump always did when he was a TV reality star.
Well, what is...
What are you talking about?
What is this impulse to say that celebrities shouldn't talk about things because they have money? They're still citizens. They yes, still vote.
They still have a vote.
They still can participate in the process. Also, I don't think most of these people have always had money. There's the rare Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Sure.
Those people. But not everyone in that audience comes from enormous wealth. They've lived a life previous to this where they may have struggled or may have experienced this, right?
A regular life.
Yeah. So it's just irritating.
Well, the other thing is, aren't they doing a disservice to the world if they have a platform and can preach peace and
yeah.
preach love
yeah.
and preach acceptance?
They're using their power, they're using their privilege in a way that they should be using it.
Right, not to stand in front of a bunch of fucking hillbillies and scream about, and make handicap imitations.
Yeah, how...
Like a cock.
How dare you use your power and privilege to speak for those who are being oppressed? How dare you use it in that way?
Fucking people. Lalo Daglotch. What's his name? Let me look again.
You're never going to be able to pronounce it correctly. I don't know why
you're... Lalo Dagich.
It's not getting better.
That's it. That's his name.
Oh, is that the way you...
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Okay. Well, you're looking at it. You were looking at it before trying to read it.
No, I was stalling.
You keep showing it to me. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Anyway, goddamn. So anyway, that happened tonight. That was a good time. It's always kind of a respite to watch just a boring fucking award show that wasn't funny at all because Jimmy Fallon was such a turd. Anyway, let's move on.
Oh,
we got some
God.
Voicemails to get to. We have some voicemails and some emails to get to. We always appreciate the communication from the audience. Let's start with something lighthearted. Don't we have a lighthearted email or something? Because these two voicemails are... Well, let's start with this voicemail.
Hola, persons. John from Pennsylvania checking in. I wanted to comment on our tweeter-in-chief. Handling him well... because you have one of two options. You either take everything he says completely seriously, or you ignore it. And so far, they're taking everything he says completely seriously. So he has legitimacy now. To be quite honest, I sort of miss Sarah Palin and wish she had an active Twitter account. Perhaps she does. Wish they talked about her more, because she was... Anyway, have a good one.
I think sometimes our callers are up inside of the asshole of a bum or something, because half of that call I didn't get. Didn't understand it there, John from Pennsylvania. I will say this, though. The comment about him now having legitimacy. In 11 days, he will be the president of the United States. He has legitimacy just based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not his. We don't have to a choice of whether to take his Twitter seriously or not. He's the most powerful governing individual on the planet. We have no choice but to take him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that wasn't so jokey.
Well, I have a relatively lighthearted email.
All
if
right.
you would like to do that.
Lay it on me.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Brittany. I was listening to your conversation about the inauguration and the trouble getting big celebrities to perform. I heard that Hillary Clinton is going to attend the ceremony now. That means she'll be the biggest celebrity there. I hope they let her sing. I couldn't come down on a single song I'd most like to hear from her, though. But maybe Lionize by the Eagles, the theme from The Manchurian Candidate, Wyclef Jean covering CCR's Fortunate Son, or just the simple CeeLo Green classic Fuck You. But I was curious what song you guys and the listeners would like to hear at the inauguration. Speaking of listeners, do we have a denonym yet? Doll babies, Dowdettes, InfoWars, refugees.
What is a denonym?
Well, I Googled it, and it is a word that identifies residents or natives of a particular place.
Huh.
Yes, which is derived from the name of that particular place. So InfoWars, refugees would not work there. Brittany remains the best part, but the other fella is closing the gap. Take care, guys.
Yeah.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part.
So a song that I think would be good is your karaoke song.
Which is what? The Lee Greenwood God Bless the USA.
Yeah.
I think if Hillary Clinton were to do a rendition of the Trump girls stupid thing.
No.
Over there, what do you know that to that tune?
Yeah, no.
I don't have it loaded up, otherwise I'd play it. But
I'm so thankful. Every time you talk about it, I get scared.
Hillary Clinton could do a great version of that in the costume, the red, white, and blue costume, and the choreography. Yeah, I think it would be great.
Yeah, I could really see Hillary Clinton doing a lot of choreography.
And to answer your question, we don't have a denonym officially named yet, like the Doubters or the Dollamore people or whatever, because... We floated that out there, and it fizzled. It fizzled.
Well, we asked the listeners to send in their ideas, and it fizzled. So, George W. Bush is also attending the inauguration now, so he will be the second biggest celebrity.
I'm sure he's more of a celebrity than former Secretary of State. He's an actual prior sitting president.
That is...
And Obama has to be there. That's kind of the deal.
True. Yeah. So Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush. George H.W. Bush is not attending due to health
reasons. Yeah, he's old as shit. He celebrated like his 72nd wedding anniversary today.
Wow.
Right? What is he, 500 years old?
That's...
72 years of being married.
Wow.
That's a love affair.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Good for them.
All right. Well, let's go to another email, and then we'll wrap with this other voicemail because it's a little heavy.
This is from Dave. Hey, Jesse, I'm a conservative dude, and I enjoy your podcasts and the conversation videos. I'm curious of what you think about that dude, Milo Yiannopoulos. The reason I ask is because a lot of mainstream media has dubbed this dude a hack, but you haven't even mentioned him. Thanks. Have a happy new year, Dave.
I think we talked about him on the last show.
We think he's great, Dave.
Oh, we talked about him on the Patreon call quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
and his outfit choices. But I will say this about Milo Yiannopoulos. Well, let me say this first. I think Dave might think that the YouTube channel is what the podcast is.
I think a lot of people think that.
So I think Dave might not be even hearing this because he doesn't know that this entire program even exists.
That is... likely the case.
So I needn't even mention, don't even talk about what I feel about Milo, because all of the people actually hearing this know that I've talked about him enough.
You're not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of Milo on the I Doubt It with Dollamore podcast.
He is the human embodiment of a troll.
He is for sure a troll.
He is a live action caricature of mm-hmm. what a troll is. Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple more emails, don't we?
Yes.
And then we'll get to the Facebook Live torture insanity that happened, which a caller wanted to talk about.
Hello, Jesse and Brittany. Love the show. I was listening to your latest episode in which you addressed Dylan Roof and his trial. I live in Charleston, served in the military here for about 13 years, and was a close friend to two of the victims from Mother Emanuel.
Wow.
I just wanted to tell you that Jesse's struggle with being opposed to the death penalty, but struggling with this case, is very personal to me. These crimes are so heinous, and Roof is without remorse. Add to that, that these are good friends of mine, gone forever, and this case has been difficult for me to reconcile with my political beliefs. But isn't that always the way of ideas and feelings. I have tried to avoid thinking about this debate. I'm actually crying as I write this, but I am very happy that Jesse brought this back to the forefront for me. As people, it is good to deal with our pain, but we must also work through it and learn from everything. Thanks for the coverage of this case. Love the show. And I'm sorry, Brittany, but my brother-in-arms, Jesse, is the best part.
Listen. It is an immeasurably difficult case to talk about. Any time that innocent life is taken by a madman fueled by hate, it is difficult. And especially when you bring into the conversation things, topics like the death penalty. Because any reasonable, rational person is going to feel, or it seems to me, to feel that burning, seething desire to see retribution, to see vengeance, to see the wrong righted in whatever way we can with the limited resources that we have as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact still remains that if the death penalty is wrong, then it's still wrong in this case, no matter how warm and fuzzy temporarily it would make us feel to see him killed. But it's a tragedy all the way around. There's no silver lining to this at all. Thanks for the email. We appreciate it very much. I think we have one more. And then to this other terrible, terrible, terrible subject.
So this is from Conrad in Kansas. Hey, Jesse and Brittany. So it seems that a bunch of fans are fuming because of your segment bumpers. I figure that I'm a musician and I have a useless opinion, so I can shit on your good work too. You use a banjo clip whenever you have a story involving a person whose neck is a particularly stupid color of red. After all, we do associate banjo music with stupidity, inbreeding, and illiteracy. Media such as the Beverly Hillbillies and Deliverance didn't exactly help much, but let's be honest. The plink of a banjo lends itself to mockery, but this isn't fair to the instrument and players. The banjo is tricky to play and unforgiving of sloppy technique. Before the advent of the electric guitar, banjos were used in all kinds of music. Early jazz bands used banjos because they are louder than unamplified guitars. Bella Fleck is doing a great job of making the banjo a respected instrument again. I've included a link to one of Fleck's tunes to demonstrate my point. I hope you dig it. Also, how do you attract so many Kansans? Am I saying that right?
Kansans, yeah. I don't know. We do have a lot of Kansans. We have a lot of people from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, do these people know each other? Like a lot of Floridians.
Yeah.
A lot of Floridians mm-hmm. listen to the show. A lot of people from Brazil listen to the show, and they hate listening because they never call in.
It's very possible.
But about the banjo, look, I'm not shitting on the banjo. I don't think it's a bunch of idiots. It's just, it is synonymous. When you think of banjo, you think of, you know, it's a, hee-haw, down drum, bitches. That's what you think about when you hear a banjo.
Oh, God.
Because banjo is picking.
Yeah.
Not a lot of strumming mm-hmm. like a guitar. It's a lot of picking. And the other thing is, if I was trying to pull this one off, I'm bitching and mad Trump supporters. Yeehaw! Down Trump, everybody! That doesn't really work.
It does not. It doesn't play.
So, it has to be...
It
a
has
banjo.
To. It has to.
It's the only thing that works, yeah. Huh?
And we know it's hard to play.
Hillary bitches in here in this airplane!
We know it's hard to play, but it goes with the...
And also, hang on, I'm not done ranting and raving
okay.
here. Conrad, if you're such the prodigious musician, why don't you... Put your picking and grinning where your mouth is there, buddy.
Yeah.
And make me a new bumper for my my making fun of the color of the necks of the people who love Donald Trump so much.
You know, that is actually what I thought that email was going to contain, and then it didn't.
And then you were disappointed.
I was extremely disappointed.
You don't want to disappoint the Brittany Page.
You brag about being a musician, but don't deliver a free bumper for the show.
I think brag might be a little strong, Brittany, but he didn't really brag about it. He just happened to mention it in passing.
Well, I take it as bragging because I cannot play an instrument and I'm jealous.
Nor can you play the instrument that you were given, which is your singing voice.
I cannot
that
sing.
That is a fucking train wreck.
It is.
A horrible mess.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like an abortion put to music.
You know, I don't feel bad about it. So if you're trying to make me feel bad about it, I don't know what's happening right now.
No, I just find it funny, and I think we've talked about this many episodes ago about how you're not tone deaf.
Uh-huh.
Because you can hit the note, you just can't stay on it for, you know, a microsecond. The problem is that you don't even know if you're on. You're like, oh, does that? You'll ask me, oh, are they a good singer?
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you don't have the ear.
I don't.
Brittany Page.
I don't.
All right. Well, as promised, and this is a bummer. First, I was going to play the call and then talk about the case, but let's play this clip about this incident in Chicago where four black teenagers took to Facebook Live after having kidnapped an 18-year-old, apparently an acquaintance of theirs, a white acquaintance, and tortured, kidnapped, and took him for $300 ransom.
We're going to turn now to that case in Chicago causing so much outrage. Four young black people seen on a Facebook Live video attacking a white teen with special needs. They now face kidnapping and hate crime charges. ABC's Alex Perez has the latest.
This morning, authorities in Chicago calling that brutal attack broadcast live on Facebook a hate crime. Investigators overnight charging these four suspects with felony hate crime, battery, and kidnapping charges.
The actions in that video are reprehensible.
That gut-wrenching video appears to show a bound and gagged 18-year-old white man kicked and beaten by four African-American attackers.
It appears that he was in that physical position, tied up in the corner, for about 4 or 5 hours.
The assailants hurling racial slurs at the victim, whom authorities say is mentally challenged, even referencing the president-elect. Investigators releasing new details on how the attack unfolded. The victim, who knew one of the attackers and had plans to hang out with him New Year's Eve, ended up spending 2 days with him. When the suspect took him to a friend's house, investigators say it was there that a play fight escalated into a painful assault.
We have the statements of the four of them. I mean, they admit that they were beating him, kicking him.
The victim has been treated and released and is now back with his family.
He's doing well as he could be at this time. This should never happen.
And Facebook has since removed the video. The company in a statement says they have a team dedicated on call 24/7 to respond to cases like this one. Robin?
Oh, horrible cases like this one. All right. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to play that leading into the call, I guess, for those of you who didn't know about this and hadn't heard about this, that is what this particular call from a listener is dealing with.
Hi, Jesse. Hi, Brittany. This is Sean from Portland, Oregon. I'm leaving this message the day after the Facebook Live thing that happened where the four black teenagers basically tortured that young white man. And I just wanted to leave this message because, first of all, what those people did is outrageous and horrible. And in my opinion, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And that's, you know, enough said there. But of course, like as we speak, BLM kidnapping is trending on Twitter. I haven't looked recently, but I think last night when I looked at it, it had, you know, over 100,000 retweets or something like that. And of course, Jesse, your girl, Tommy Lauren, she was tweeting about it, and I saw other, you know, prominent, what could be described as alt-right accounts tweeting about it. And I guess I wonder, since I just listened to your guys' latest episode, and Jesse, you talked about Dylann Roof and the death penalty there, and so I thought about, were any of these people, or all these people that are outraged by this, as they should be, you know, were they half as outraged about, you know, Dylann Roof shooting up a church as they are about this. I guess my ending thoughts on it are, you know, everyone should be outraged about this, but shouldn't we be outraged that it's four human beings doing it to another human being instead of, you know, four black people doing it to one white guy? I guess that's all I got on this. Love the show. Brittany's the best part.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part. Bye.
There's a lot to unpack there. It is certainly a terrible occurrence when humans hurt other humans. And there's a lot going on here relative to, look, let me say this first. The four people who did this are, I believe, without worth. I think they are pieces of shit. I think they should be in prison for as long as it is possible to imprison someone. I don't have concern for how they were raised. I don't have concern that they lived in poverty. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They harmed, maybe inexorably, this human being, this mentally challenged kid, young man. He might be physically unharmed, but you can bet your ass that there are going to be ramifications of this psychologically that carry with him, or that he carries with himself for his entire life. Nightmares, anxiety, possibly panic attacks, all of these things are very possible, if not likely. They knew right from wrong, and they did this. They broadcast this. They called the mother, demanding $300. They cut him with a knife. They cut his hair. They terrorized him. Now, listen, personally, I'm not a proponent of hate crime legislation. I believe that there should be tougher sentencing for things like this. And if I just take you and I kidnap you and I cut your hair and I terrorize you and I cut you with a knife and I demand a ransom, I don't believe it should be more punishable if I did it because you're black or gay or anything. It just, I did it. I should be punished. I believe hate crime legislation is thought crime legislation. That's just my personal thing. But race was entered into this. They did this, I believe, spurned because of the mess that we have socially in our country right now because Donald Trump is president. There's a hornet's nest that has been stirred up that is, I don't know that while he's president, it'll ever have time to settle. We're probably likely going to see more instances like this. Now, it's not necessarily Donald Trump's fault directly, but he sure as shit hasn't done anything to bring the country together after one of the most contentious presidential elections in the history of our country. Now, I'm kind of rambling here. I don't know how to answer the question.
Well, I want to say something, which is that was an awesome voicemail.
Yeah, for sure. Very thoughtful.
Very thoughtful, very well spoken. And I didn't watch this video because I can't.
I have a hard time with stuff like this.
Yeah, even hearing the reporting on it is a little, kind of makes me sick to my stomach. But I think it is important to know, I guess, that this is going on. And I like what he said, you know, just anytime a human hurts another human, it's an outrage. And,
yeah,
you know, all these people that were tweeting about it, I hope that they're tweeting about every instance of,
sure,
you know, humans being harmed. I think that's,
well,
that's a great point.
As far as the hijacking of this incident and making it about Black Lives Matter, that is fucking ridiculous to the nth degree. Just because someone who's black does something doesn't mean that the Black Lives Matter movement is going to stand behind it. Almost immediately when this came out, what is his name? Sean King. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
The writer for the New York Daily News. He came out immediately and wrote a long post about how this is egregious, unacceptable. There's no defense for it. And he is a big, you know, police brutality crusader against police brutality, against oppression. He is a pro Black Lives Matter champion. And he didn't defend this. Black Lives Matter isn't defending this. This wasn't a Black Lives Matter thing. The alt-right, largely led by Tommy Lahren because she has the platform, nuance is not their friend. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to separate the fact that Black people who do bad things aren't automatically representatives of Black Lives Matter. Just like whatever other group, individual, doesn't represent the group. Not every Christian who commits a crime is representing Christianity. You can't do that. Not every Muslim who does something bad is representing goddamn ISIS. That's not the way it works. The world is far more complicated than that. So anyway, I hope I addressed it to your satisfaction, Sean. We really do appreciate the thoughtful voicemails. They're certainly not few and far between. We have a very thoughtful, well-intended audience. People who do understand nuance. And I think that's why they tune in. Although, you know, I could be a fiery jackass sometimes. I certainly do want to be as thoughtful as I have the ability to be. You know, trying to depress and suppress my lower urges, which are, you know, angry. I get angry real quick. But I want to be thoughtful in spite of that. So thank you very much. We appreciate the phone call. We appreciate the emails very much, you guys. We love you. We have a very responsive, beautiful audience. If you too would like to sound off, you have something to say, have a question, 657-464-7609. Of course, you can always email a voice memo from your smartphone to idoubtit@dollamore.com.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
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 Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Huh? Little pew. We haven't done a pew in a long time. Little pew research.
For a very long time.
We want to get back to that. That was something we were doing a lot. We kind of got hijacked by the election. Didn't talk about it as much, and we want to bring that back, so here we are.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a little bit of Pew, a little bit of Gallup, and a little bit of a research article that I found that was interesting from researchers at the University of Winnipeg and the University of Illinois at Chicago. So we'll start with the Pew, because this is really interesting, right? We just had the new Congress sworn in, right? The 115th Congress.
That is right.
And the share of U.S. adults who describe themselves as Christians has been declining for decades. But the U.S. Congress is about as Christian today as it was in the early 1960s, according to a new analysis by Pew Research Center. Indeed, among members of the new 115th Congress, 91% describe themselves as Christian. 91.
Wow.
This is nearly the same percentage.
Which is a higher percentage than there are Christians in the United States.
Yes. Not representative.
Yes.
So this is nearly the same percentage as in the 87th Congress, which was from 1961 to 1962.
Wow.
When 95% of the members were Christian.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty intense.
It is. Listen. Why are you not voting for people who represent you?
So
why are you not running for... I'm screaming, but I could be doing the same fucking thing. Well, why am I not doing this?
Yeah, this is the thing. 1 in 5 Americans is religiously unaffiliated. But only one of the 535 members of the new Congress is. Only one.
Right.
Even though 1 in 5 Americans...
In fact, that one might be the one who was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
There have been very few, if any, openly. I think we may have one openly atheist representative, and that's the one you're talking about.
Well, I think that...
Or just, they're a nun. They're unaffiliated.
Yeah, it says in this article, they admit to being unaffiliated. It's an Arizona Democratic representative.
Wow. It's a woman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And...
Good on her.
Yeah. And according to Pew Research Center, the nation's top legislative body remains far more male and white than the rest of the U.S. population as well.
Yeah. Listen, the parties need to do a better job of recruiting individuals who represent the makeup of goddamn America.
Well, and if you are wondering, 91% of Congress says they're Christian. 71% of U.S. adults say that they are Christian.
Right.
So much higher.
Ugh.
Now, I want to move into Gallup because they released some numbers that were just fascinating, fascinating about how people feel about Donald Trump and how comfortable they are with his abilities.
I'm scared to hear.
Okay, so confidence.
For the sausage making aspect of this, how the sausage is made, I want everybody to know. I don't know what's coming here. Brittany organizes this segment and she just flashes it to me. So we'll see how pissed off I get.
So this question was asked of Clinton, Bush, and Obama, and now Trump. So there's some comparison here that we'll be able to do as well. Confidence in presidents-elect to handle presidential responsibilities. This is how the question was asked.
Right.
Now, I'd like you to think about blank's ability to handle a number of things over the next 4 years. Please tell me whether you are very confident, somewhat confident, not too confident, or not at all confident that blank can blank.
Right.
Okay.
So how confident are you that George W. Bush, Barack Obama are going to be able to do X, Y, and Z?
Right. So with Trump, they asked, how confident are you that Donald Trump can prevent major scandals in his administration?
Oh, holy fuck. Let me guess.
Well, these are the people who said very or somewhat confident. So go ahead.
I don't want to be 13%.
44%.
Oh, really? That many people?
Yeah, but that's
were very or somewhat confident that he's going to be able to head off at the pass scandals from his administration?
Yeah, but this is compared with Obama, which was 74%. So this is very, very low. 44%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not the majority, right?
Still, that's a lot. That's shocking to me.
Okay, well, that was the lowest one.
I'm disappointed.
That was the lowest one. It only goes higher.
I want to turn the fucking mics off and just go to bed right now. That is a bummer for me.
Okay, use military force wisely.
Oh, goddamn.
This was
I'm not guessing anymore. It's just going to be fucking depressing.
This was 47%.
Morons.
And with Obama, it was 71%. With Bush, it was 78%.
Hmm.
So higher with Bush than Obama. And
which is typical of Republican people. Usually think that the Republicans are going to handle the military better.
Right. So manage the executive branch effectively. 53%.
For Trump?
Yeah. But that's compared with 84% for Obama. So people were much more confident.
A massive gap.
Comparing Bush and Obama, they're pretty close. Mm-hmm. Pretty close on all these issues. Right. But with Trump, these numbers tank because people are not confident that he can handle these things.
Wisely so, they're not confident.
Right. So the last thing I want to talk about in this little research segment is something I read about in the LA Times, and it was an article about whether liberals and conservatives are equally resistant to learning about one another's views. Right.
This is something we've talked about before.
Yeah, like echo chamber
with the Unpersuadables, the book you read.
Yeah, and even kind of there's been research about who is most likely to delete a friend because of their political views.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a different experiment, a very interesting experiment. They offered participants a chance to win $10. And this was specifically to participants who, let's say, opposed letting gay couples marry. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
There was a catch to qualify for the prize.
You mean assholes.
To qualify for the prize drawing, they had to read 8 arguments for legalizing same-sex marriage, okay? Then they could get the $10. As an alternative, they could read 8 anti-same-sex marriage statements, right? So, the statements that they agreed with.
Sure. Something that mirrors their worldview.
Right. Rather than something that did not.
Sure.
But any potential prize money would then be reduced to $7.
So, okay. So let me put this in dumb guy Jesse terms. So $10, mm-hmm, if you read opposing viewpoints.
Correct.
To your own.
Yes.
And only $7 on a percentage basis a large percentage less money if you read your own views.
Your comfort little believies.
Right, right. If you want to stay in your echo chamber, you get $7.
Right.
If you want to be challenged, and you're not really being challenged, you're just reading someone else's opinion.
You're just reading eight statements.
Right. You get $10.
Uh-huh.
But you're still reading.
Yes.
It's still reading words.
Mm-hmm.
But I am
the same amount of words.
I am fucking seriously, I am afraid to know what the percentage is here.
Okay, so, well, this article says greed and curiosity were teamed up against motivated ignorance. I like that.
Yeah, motivated ignorance.
And
that's
they
awesome.
Say motivated ignorance won. Most conservatives, 61%, chose to stay in their bubble and forego the extra cash.
61%.
And when they gave liberals the same dilemma, slightly more, 64% chose to stay in their bubble.
What a bummer.
Yes.
Against their own best interest because they're getting money. Real money.
Yeah.
It's not figurative monopoly money.
Yeah.
It's real. You're getting $10.
Right. Well, and this is interesting.
You can go buy like a half a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Well, and this trend held regardless of the issue. So they also asked about legalizing marijuana, climate change, gun control, or abortion. And then they also asked about the elections, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. And,
sure.
And the result was pretty much the same on either side. And they,
which also, by the way, just for the benefit of the audience, that lines up with that. Who wrote that book, The Unpersuadables?
Will Storr.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So didn't he say that they found that conservatives were far more able to communicate, like when asked, hey, liberal, why don't you explain what conservatives think? And hey, conservatives, why don't you explain how they think about this? That conservatives were more well-equipped to explain about liberals. Where liberals weren't able, they had no, they're fucking the devil, I don't know.
So you're actually explaining Jonathan Haidt's research.
Oh, Jonathan Haidt.
The Righteous Mind.
Why am I so dumb?
Well, you're not. You just confused one book with another book.
You see, everybody, this is why everyone needs to know.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part.
This is why Brittany's the best part, because she's the fucking brains of the operation, driving the facts home.
It's really not true. But I just one last thing on this. What was also interesting about this, there's so many things that are interesting.
We should get John Haidt on the show.
We really should, is that
everybody needs to go out and tweet John Haidt and invite him on the show.
People didn't forego the extra money because they already knew the opposing argument. Because before they did this whole experiment, they gave them a quiz to test their knowledge of the other side's views. And the participants were largely unaware of the other side's views on many of these issues. So it wasn't as though, I'm not going to waste my time reading the opposition because I already know.
Right.
I don't want to be exposed.
I want to be shielded from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's not even worth my time, which is really problematic because wouldn't you want to know what the other side is saying so that you can better be prepared to argue against it?
Sun Tzu, The Art of War.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know your enemy like yourself.
Yeah.
LBJ. If you read Chris Matthews' book, Hardball Politics, which I highly recommend. I think his show is shit. I shouldn't say that. Maybe I won't get invited on. But it's an awesome, awesome book. And he talked about LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, President Johnson, appointing people to positions and hiring people for positions who were his enemies. I'm fucking going off the rails here. But because he wanted them close to him.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Good times.
I know about books too, Brittany Page.
Is that what's happening here?
I have no idea.
Okay. So I am done boring everybody with
that's not boring. That's fascinating.
Research and Gallup and Pew.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to forego the Patreon midroll and I'm going to talk about it myself.
Perfect.
So you're still going to hear about it, everybody, but you're going to be hearing me talk about it. We would love a surge this year, obviously. I mean, that's what am I fucking, that's not like a secret. Really? They want more patrons?
Right.
But we would love more patrons to come on board in the support family with us.
Yeah.
It's really going to help us do a lot of the stuff. I'm going to start taking some pictures in the studio here. We've got a little nook with some chairs, and there's going to be some videos I'm going to be putting on YouTube that might not be I Doubt It with Dollimore branded, but it's going to be Jesse Dollimore. There's going to be some Brittany Page. There's going to be a lot more stuff going on.
It all kind of runs together.
And we really, would love your support helping us produce this content because it costs money. You know, buying the new camera I just bought costs, you know, hundreds of dollars. And I'm dumb. I got to figure out how to use it. So anyway, if you would like to help produce the show, join with us in producing the show, go check out patreon.com/IDoubtItWithDollarMore. You can go to the website, dollarmore.com, on the left-hand side of the page. Support the show. You can donate through PayPal if you're more comfortable with that. You can go on dollarmore.com/shop, buy some coffee mugs, buy the 4-pack of stickers or whatever it is. We're trying to create different avenues for our audience to join with us to support the show.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, we are dedicated this year to having more bonus content, to doing more stuff on YouTube, to creating more and moving forward the conversation like never before. Right. On the show.
Yeah, and we just had a Google Hangout with the Patreon supporters a couple days ago.
Yeah.
We've already scheduled the one for February as well. So the one in February is Friday, February 10th at 8 p.m. Los Angeles time. And
there's tons of time to get in on that.
And Saturday, February 11th at 9 a.m. Los Angeles time. So we're planning it in advance because we're not going to forget. And I'm not forgetting to send it to the PayPal people. Okay. I am
like
alerting.
You did this time.
Yeah. I'm alerting everybody. Okay. I'm putting it out there early.
Right on.
Okay.
Listen, so we love you guys.
We also just sent like 60 envelopes of stickers out. So
yeah. Brand new.
You should be getting stickers and we want to see them.
Right on. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We are passionate about what's coming this year. And God damn it, it is going to be good. Good times, and we want you to help us. Join us. Come on board. It would be awesome.
Dollamocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So we've been talking about the CNN, the CIA thing for a long time. We talk about CNN, too, but not quite as much as we've been talking about the CIA thing
mm-hmm.
with Donald Trump. And he finally got his briefing. He was tossing out wild speculation about, maybe they're trying to come up with the story. You know, just fucking being Donald Trump with the tweets. Ugh. Well, he finally got it, and he's now saying it was constructive, but still misleading the information that they released.
And in New York, Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence getting briefed by top intelligence officials on their report on Russia's election cyber attacks. U.S. intelligence officials say the findings are clear. The cyber trails lead directly to the Kremlin and to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Despite his ongoing public skepticism, Trump said his briefing Friday was, quote, a constructive meeting and conversation. In a statement, Trump also pointed the finger at China and other countries, saying they're also trying to break through American cyber infrastructure. And with 2 weeks until he takes the oath of office, Trump defending his win, saying there was absolutely no effect on the outcome of the election, including the fact that there was no tampering whatsoever with voting machines.
But it's notable that after his briefing, Donald Trump still did not publicly acknowledge or accept the intelligence community's consensus view that Russia engaged in cyber attacks in an attempt to interfere with the election. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
So here's what I fear is going to happen. This is just going to go away. Donald Trump is going to ignore this long enough until new news comes up and he's able to walk away from this, which is a travesty because we have a hostile foreign power attempting to interfere in our free and fair elections in favor of one candidate over the other. Unbelievable. We have an incoming president who is disrespecting our intelligence service.
Well, it's strange because they released that declassified report on Friday after right. They met with him, right? And it says, quote, we assess Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Secretary Clinton, and harm her electability and potential presidency, the report said. And this included conclusions from the FBI, NSA, and CIA.
Right. The same FBI that interfered in the election to release the information about Hillary Clinton that didn't need to be released because there was nothing there in the first place.
Right. They said, quote, "We further assess Putin and the Russian government developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump."
Clear preference. Not a shocker, because Trump shows a clear preference for Lil Vladdy Putin. Ugh. But that's not the only thing that's going on this week. It's no surprise if I tell you that Donald Trump has been talking about building a wall and whipping up a fury and a frenzy among his supporters. Yeehaw! Build that wall! Goddamn, Trump!
Uh-oh.
Build that fucking wall, son!
Oh my God.
In fact, I'm going to play a clip here. It's about a minute long of just one instance of him at a rally talking about the building the goddamn wall. And right at the beginning, when he's talking, he starts talking about the wall, you can hear a guy out in the crowd who sounds shockingly like what I was just doing while playing the banjo music.
We have so many things. These people come up to me. They say, "Donald, you don't really mean we're going to build a wall, do you?" And I say, "Absolutely, we're going to build a wall, 100%. They go, "Well, you don't really mean that. That was like when I first started in June." I said right from the beginning, "We're going to build a wall. It's going to be a real wall. See that ceiling up there? I mean, this is a wall that if you get up there, you're not coming down very easy. Okay, you ready? Who's going to pay for the wall? Who? 100%. 100%. So I get a call from one of the reporters yesterday. And they said, "The president of Mexico said they will not under any circumstances pay for the wall." They said to me, "What is your comment?" I said, "The wall just got 10 feet higher." It's true. It's true. So let me tell you a story, then we're going to get back to your wall, okay? You know what? We all have good seats. Place is amazing. Thank you.
If you have to start your own chant, you're not very good at what you do. Here we go.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
God damn. So anyway, clearly Donald Trump had his thing going, this mantra, the entire time. "I'm going to build a wall, and here's the most critical part of this. I'm going to build a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it."
House GOP officials are telling CNN that the transition team has signaled congressional Republican leaders that the president-elect's preference is to fund the border wall through the appropriations process as soon as April. In other words, American taxpayers would pay for it, and so will the panel if they're staying up late. Gloria, I mean, again, that's all we know on this. Not a lot of details.
Right.
What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's kind of astonishing that they're now saying that they want to fund the building of the wall through the appropriations process. And we have heard that Mexico is going to pay for the wall. They want to do it in a spending bill, according to the great reporting by Manu Raju and Deirdre Walsh. And the interesting point here is, as I played a few steps forward, is that I'm almost envisioning in my mind the fact that the Democrats could filibuster this or could try to shut down the government over refusing to fund the wall. We could find ourselves in a situation in which the Democrats then want to shut down the government.
Kirsten, do you see this as a flip-flop? I mean, would this be a complete flip-flop?
I definitely would want to get more information about it, I think. You know, there was some talk before about using some existing, not to have to pass a whole new bill, that there was already some existing legislation that had passed for funding, you know, under the Obama administration, who actually, believe it or not, was doing quite a bit in terms of the border. And so I definitely would want to get more information. If he actually does say we're going to pay for it and Mexico's not paying for it, that would be a monumental flip-flop.
Although I guess the middle ground would be, we'll pay for it this way initially, and then down the road, Mexico will somehow reimburse.
Right.
Something of that nature.
And if I'm just throwing up options.
If you go on Donald Trump's campaign website, there's actually a rather detailed PDF where he talks about proposing a rule on day one that would allow him to tax remittances. So he's put forth a detailed way in which Mexico will at least partially or wholly pay for this. So I would fully expect to see part of this implemented. It was a major part of the campaign. So I think more details.
Van, you got to
partially or wholly pay. I would fully expect that Mexico would partially, well, no, fucking partially, Kayleigh McEnany. That wasn't the trope that was dragged out at every goddamn rally by Donald Trump. It was I guarantee you, America, we're building a wall, a big, beautiful wall, and Mexico's gonna pay for it.
Right, and now he's tweeting things like he tweeted 3 hours ago. Dishonest media says Mexico won't be paying for the wall if they pay a little later so the wall can be built more quickly. Media is fake.
Paying later?
Yeah, so I thought of it this way, and then I saw several other people writing this example, and I was really bummed because I felt like I came
You're like,
up
why
with
why didn't we record an episode before I saw these tweets? After
right, but it would be like it would be like me saying to you, Jesse, I'm gonna buy you a car. Now let's head down to the car lot.
I would be very excited.
Yeah,
because the Volvo is getting a little long in the tooth.
It really is. So I'm gonna buy you a new car. Let's go down there.
Let's go.
Okay. So we get down there. And then I turn to you when we're sitting there, we're getting ready to buy it, okay? And I say, why don't you go ahead and pay for this, and then I'll pay you back later.
Yeah, that's not buying me a fucking car.
But it's paying you back later.
You know what that's called? Bamboozled. That's bait and switch.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he is selling right now.
Right.
So people are trying to make excuses for it.
Well, the other
but
thing is,
it seems pretty clear.
A lot of people have accounted for this, the money, and it's going to cost an enormous amount of money to build. First of all, it might not be physically in the real world able to be done because of the geography and just the scope of the fucking project. But money-wise, God, there are so many other things we could be spending that money on. And if they repeal Obamacare, it's going to cost a bunch of money too. And if our economy is in such shambles, like they've been talking about for the last year, how the fuck are they going to get that done?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So one more example of Donald Trump being a liar, being a deceiver of the electorate. And not only that, Mexico has already said,
I declare, I'm not going to pay for that fucking wall.
I'm not going to pay for that fucking wall. They already said it, and not even diplomatic terms. Now, granted, that's former President Vicente Fox, but he's still a prominent political figure in Mexico. So here's the other thing. And this episode went long. I have some other stuff planned, but we're going to have to push it until next episode. Donald Trump used to have a clothing line with Macy's department stores. And Macy's is, along with some other, Sears and Kmart and some other retailers, are iconic retailers, are shutting down many stores. So I'm going to play a little clip about how the normal news media would cover such an economic occurrence in the market. And then we're going to talk about Fox News a little bit.
Back here at home tonight, into your money, some of the country's most familiar stores closing hundreds of locations and cutting thousands of jobs tonight. Take a look at the map. Sears shutting down 150 of their Sears and Kmart stores coast to coast, everywhere where there's a logo. And then we add on tonight where Macy's is shuttering dozens of their department stores. Tonight, ABC's Eva Pilgrim with the reasons why.
Tonight, massive cutbacks for two of America's iconic department stores. Sears, part of the American fabric for decades.
Sears, where America shops.
those holiday wish books a family favorite. Tonight, Sears closing 150 stores, 108 of them Kmart. There will be layoffs, but the company not releasing those numbers. Sears also selling their Craftsman tool business for $900 million to help pay off mounting debt. Macy's getting hit too, shutting down 68 stores, 6,200 jobs gone.
We're definitely going to see more stores close. This is really just the beginning.
Sears reporting holiday sales down 12% this year, while overall internet sales are booming, $91 billion in profits this season, up 11%.
David, both Sears and Macy's reps say the savings from the upcoming cuts will go to help boost online sales. Macy's is also planning to add an additional 50 discount stores.
So that's a lot of numbers. That's a lot of facts. That's a lot of nuance involved in reporting on those three organizations that are closing down mini stores.
Also disappointing.
Absolutely.
It's loss of jobs.
All of these people are losing jobs.
Yes.
So when Fox News decided to report on this, well, who did they send? Well, they sent this lady.
What about the majority?
Okay, the majority.
I'm so tired of protecting the minority.
And how do you think that Fox News reported on this particular item of Macy's, who Donald Trump used to have a relationship with? Well, I'm sure you can guess.
Do you remember when Macy's, the department store, dissed President-elect Donald Trump and banned his products from its stores? Well, that may have been a huge mistake, as he would say. That department store is now cutting more than 10,000 jobs and closing 68 of its stores. Macy's blaming the rough holiday season and more people shopping online.
So she sounds almost jovial.
Yeah, kind of giddy.
Yeah, this is
like
a huge mistake.
Fuck you, Macy's. Look what you did. 10,000 people, she just said, with her own stupid, hateful mouth, are going to lose their jobs.
But shouldn't she be more concerned about the economy and what's going to happen to the people that are losing their jobs?
Absolutely.
That seems like maybe the focus.
The natural human thing to do.
Yeah, that
not,
should...
Oh, nah, 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 nah.
Right. Maybe you shouldn't have... worked with Donald Trump. Maybe you shouldn't have been mean to Donald Trump.
It leaves me without words. It is disgusting. But, you know, what would you expect from...
What about
the majority?
Okay, the majority.
I'm so tired of protecting the minority.
She's real tired, Brittany Page, of protecting the minority.
Mm-hmm.
People out of power, fuck them. Let's protect the majority, the people in power.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people we need to worry about.
Yeah.
They're the ones that need protecting, not the minority. Oh, God, it makes me so fucking mad.
Yep. Sure does.
You know what else makes me mad, Brittany Page?
It's the asshole of today.
Martin Shkreli.
Yeah. Martin Shkreli makes me real, real mad.
On January 5th, he messaged a journalist named Lauren Duca. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Probably not, but
and
let's move ahead.
He
forge ahead, Brittany Page.
He said, hey, I have a plus one to the inauguration. He actually didn't write inauguration. He said inaug.
If you
want to be my plus one. So she went ahead and took a little screenshot of that and tweeted it and said, I would rather eat my own organs.
Wow.
Pretty strong response there of rejection. Pretty popular tweet.
As you would imagine.
Yeah.
It is Martin Shkreli, the pharmaceutical douchebag, the AIDS drug 5,000% price increase guy. We didn't really talk about who he is, but I assume the audience knows.
Yeah, his name is pretty synonymous with asshole.
Martin Shkreli.
So he tweeted back, well, start with your heart. What a cold you know what.
He said you know what?
Apparently. Well, I didn't say that, so yeah.
Yeah.
The ex-CEO then changed his Twitter profile picture to what appears to be a photoshopped image of him and the journalist sitting on a couch together. He also posted a collage of photos of her under text saying, till death do us part.
That's a little stalkery.
Yeah, so it was a little weird.
He's a friendless fuck, this guy. There's no chance this guy has a cadre of friends.
So the
have you looked at him?
The journalist tweeted...
Look, I'm not much to look at, but he's a weaselly little prick.
The journalist tweeted to the...
I've already played the disclaimer, Brittany.
Yeah, the Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey, asking, how is this allowed? And shortly after that, his account was suspended.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, not permanently.
No, I think just suspended.
Just a slap on the pencil neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's a little pencil neck. Douche.
Now he'll have to find an alternative method to find a date for the inaug.
For the inaug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a plus one for the inaug.
I bet you Tommy Lahren's looking for a date.
I'm sure she's invited.
Yeah, but they could go together. They both have invitations.
Yeah. That is a perfect pair, actually. You're right. They should do that. You should tweet her and recommend that. I mean, now they can't hook up on Twitter, but I'm sure that they can find other
methods. I know
you're
looking at me and saying I should do that, but I'd like to I'd like to redirect that to the audience.
Okay, so you're not a matchmaker.
I'm not a matchmaker.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's many, many hundreds of matchmakers in the audience that would be happy to tweet to Tommy Lahren and Martin Shkreli once his account. You could just say his name.
And let her know who the perfect person for her is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven, mm-hmm. Brittany Page.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that match made in heaven, we're going to leave you there. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Listen, if you'd like to support the show other than listening twice a week or as often as you do, go to dollamore.com and on the left-hand side of the page, there is a link that says support the show. And we would love to have you join us, helping us produce the show and move the conversation forward all the time. Even while I'm sleeping, I'm moving this goddamn conversation forward. So thanks for your participation. Thank you for checking us out. Tell a friend. Help us grow. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Until next time. For Brittany Page, I am Jesse Dollimore, and this has been I Doubt It.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.